If you would pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, my rock and my redeemer. It will be a miracle if I make it through this sermon without breaking out crying. As you can see, keeping my emotions in check has never been my strong point. Anyone who's knew me growing up would not be surprised by that. And indeed, there's a reason a fun game in divinity school was, let's look at Nathan and see how he's reacting to this ridiculous thing one of our classmates has just said. So what we're going to do today is we're going to have a short sermon, and you've earned it after the past few weeks of my longer sermons. And I'm going to talk a little bit directly about this scripture we have just read. And then we're going to talk about why we're tempted to look at the last bit, which is indeed important, but why we need the first bit even more. So first, a little bit of background on Luke. Luke, more than the other Gospels, the other what are called synoptic Gospels, Mark, Luke, and Matthew, has a little bit of a focus on the present moment. Now, this is all throughout the Gospel of John. You sort of see Jesus talking in John about, oh, my glory has not yet been revealed, and then the glory is revealed, and this is what is going to go on. This is the present kingdom of God. And there's a little bit of talk about what happens afterwards. But John especially has this heavy focus on loving now and living now. And some of that sort of same sensibility comes over into Luke. Not nearly as much. Luke does talk about the coming of the Son of Man in very explicit terms, but he does not put it off. He has this idea that we do not know when it will happen. It will happen at some point. We cannot tell when, and you should be ready for it. And that is the way we read this scripture, as we should. This idea of Jesus coming like a thief in the night permeates Christian tradition. And it is this admonition to always be ready, always be living as if Jesus is about to come. And while we dwell on some of the things that to us are anachronistic, we are talking about good slaves in this passage. We are talking about thieves in the night. Still, the idea is the same. Whether you are coming in love or not, whether you are someone who is loving your master as a good slave or whether there is someone watching out for whoever else is coming that's not your master, you are ready. You're ready for the good and the bad. And this is indeed an important idea. But in doing that, we sometimes get away from sort of the radical statement of verse 32, our first verse. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So today is a hard day for me, and I'm glad to have both the exhortations of Isaiah and the reassurance of Luke. As you all now know, my wife and kids are headed back to Colwy, North Carolina, to resume their life there. Well, I stay here with you for the next month. And to make things worse, they're taking my mom with them. So it's just my dad and me at home. If you need to find us, especially around dinner time, I would recommend looking at Blackstone or at Shorts. We'll be at the bar having cheeseburgers. So it's not all bad. But this will be the first time I've been separated from my kids for more than a week. And I've largely been a stay-at-home dad these last 3 years. So this day makes me grieve for those people, including some in this congregation, and indeed in our own family, who routinely spend months on deployment in the military and civilian services, or, worse yet, have lost children and spouses too soon from this world. It should also happen in this congregation too many times over. Isaiah's words remind us that the showy signs of affection and love are easy. We can give a big ostentatious gift once a year. It is living up to the standard of those signs every day that is hard. Gifts and offerings have their place, but when love and kindness are not offered alongside them, the souls of both God and humans starve. And that's how Jesus sees it too. It's amazing and awe-inspiring to me that he starts his words here by telling us that it is our God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. The kingdom is here, revealed to us in the life and death of Jesus Christ. given to us by God that we may live free from fear. Too long have our hearts been burdened and distracted by the crushing needs of material wealth and status, not through any personal failing of our own, but because it is the way we have been trained to see the world. Too long have we been putting our hearts into our possessions and our work, and not into our souls and bodies. I was talking to an old friend this week, collaborating on a sermon you'll hear in September. He's a man whose life belongs in a collection of inspirational works somewhere. It was spent helping others. Beginning as a farmhand, then repairing barns for farmers too poor to do it themselves, teaching them new ways in New York to construct these giant things they'd inherited from their fathers. In retirement, he went on to help doctors in Central America who needed more medicine. Now our sermon is going to take the form of a game of Jeopardy when we present it in September. So pay attention here for points later. This is your freebie question. He told me, ask them who is the Lord. So I ask you, who is the Lord? Where is your treasure? Is it in a vault? Is it in heaven? Or is it in this room? Matthew tells us, for where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among you, says Jesus Christ. So look to your right and look to your left. Whether you're with a loved one or with your neighbors here, get closer and look. Here are your two or three gathered in Jesus' name, and here is your Lord. Jesus knew that none of us is an island. Jesus knew that it would be hard to give up our fears if we were all alone. It can be so scary when we've just got ourselves to talk to about what's going on, what we're hoping, and what we're planning. So Jesus reminds us that the kingdom is here, and it was God's good pleasure to show it to us. And that kingdom is here with our families and with our friends, with all who gather in Christ's name. Seek the kingdom, and you will find it all around you. Light the lamp of love, and your path will be illuminated. Show love to your family, love to your neighbor, love to your strangers, and love to God. So building your treasure in heaven, enjoy your work, but love Christ's family.